cleaning up the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District Board of Directors is in session. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Dr. Rigi, please, if you will be kind enough.
As we pledge to our flag, let's keep in mind those in Japan that are suffering. Our flag is bright in color, brilliant in courage, and fervent faith. To thee, let that ours is your pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. Roll call, Mr. Chapman.
Director Robinson.
Yeah.
Director Fellows.
Yeah.
Director Chavez.
Here.
Director Rivas.
Here.
President Trujillo.
Here. I hear a motion for adoption of the agenda.
Second.
Aye. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Very good. Public comment. Anyone wishing to discuss items should do so now. The Board of Directors may allow additional input during the meeting. A 3-minute time limit on remarks is requested. To anybody who wants to address the board. Seeing none, we will move on to action discussion items. Mr. Chapman.
Yeah, I have put forward a workshop presentation, 21 slides on the revenue requirement for rates considered by the board in April. I apologize for not getting this information out in advance. It's behind the curve. There's about 64 or 50. Can I get that chair move, please? Thank you.
And the lights, I guess, a little bit of dimming.
Yeah, can we dim the lights a little bit?
Just a little bit.
Oh, there we go. Just as a reminder, we went over some of this material when we first sort of put this trial balloon up of the proposed rate. A little bit awkward this year for the rate cycle, but it's very important that we move forward. Producers and water master have to set their budget. Today, obviously, we have this proposal, or this workshop. That will be followed by a similar in-depth workshop with the groundwater producers that's scheduled for next Wednesday, the 23rd. And the administrative committee will again consider the same material and see public input on the 24th. So lots of opportunity for input here. April 5th is the consideration of action. These rates will be effective January 1, so retroactive for the Med increase July 1 and January 2012, possibly, if your board wants to consider that to give the producers more certainty. May through December, I would propose that as we develop that IRP, we then engage in a conversation with the producers about pricing signals, a rate structure that creates incentives for storage, for recycled water, and for stormwater capture. The emphasis now is cost recovery. And we'll set a good foundation and then move forward from there. Back up there, sorry.
Do we have any Prop 218 issues in our process?
We do not.
Notice anything like that?
Not subject to that, fortunately. Welcome to
President from Central Basin.
You're recognized in the dark. Thank you for joining us.
That's better in the dark.
We're just having a late
discussion. All of that out of a minute. Workshop overview. I want to go through again the proposed rate, this trial balloon we floated. I have not, and no directors, with the exception of President Trevino, have provided me with any input that they have received from the producers or the public. We do have one member of the public that has been expressing concern with the process, and we'll be responding to that in writing in President Trevino's direction. I want to look at the historic and projected sales briefly, emphasize the volatility in that, review again the revenue requirement and that debt service coverage that's so important to establishing the agency's creditworthiness. Delve into a bit the average water rate, make sure everybody understands what that is. Uses and sources of funds and expenditure terms. What you see here, I think here are the various classes of service that Upper District offers. A class of service, full service, is the most reliable level of service for Metropolitan Water District. It's either treated or it's untreated. And an agency like Upper District is either purchasing Tier 1, or if we go over a certain threshold, our Tier 1 annual limit, Tier 2, the more expensive water. And so what we have here is we have...
Let me stop you right there. Christy, could you make available to President Vasquez a copy of this document, although it's hard to see it at night, I mean, here it's dark, but still, thank you. Okay, fine.
What we have here in the classes of service is all of the rates that have been adopted by the Upper District for calendar year 2012, and we've broken those down for you in terms of what is the Upper District's portion per year for full service treated tier 2, $115 an acre foot, and what is the MET portion. And that's consistent throughout this table. So you read across this table, you see that the MET rate effective January 1, 2011 is going up to $869 from $811. The Upper District rate effective January 1 is not proposed to change, but is proposed to then change to $70 effective July 1, and that's consistent across all of these classes of service. And that's one of the fundamental changes here, is that we're setting an average rate for the Upper District that's consistent across all classes of service. Then we'll engage in a conversation about why these rates might need to be higher or lower for various classes of service, or at what times during the year they should be in place to incentivize storage, etc. In terms of the increase, to spare you from having to do the math, what we're looking at here are the rates from that previous table that are currently in effect, 926, 797, 655, Tier 2 untreated. This is the bulk of the water that we purchased in 2010-11 at this Tier 2 untreated rate, and we maximized our Tier 1 untreated at 526 as well, working with the Water Master. Put quite a bit of water in the basin, over 40,000 acres. This rate, the replenishment rate, was not available to us because the replenishment program is turned off at Metropolitan currently. Now, effective July 1, as the producers start their new fiscal year, these following rates will be in place. And this is the percentage change for the total rate treated Tier 2, an increase of 1.4%, 2.1% for full service treated Tier 1. We do sell some of that water. Treated untreated Tier 2, we do sell some of that water. A 10% increase, a little over 10%, a little over 13% increase for full service untreated Tier 1, and 24% increase for replenishment, which in 2011 is looking more and more that we will not be selling any replenishment because of the lack of that program at MET. The big driver that's going here is the MET increases, as well as the change to an average rate of $70 per acre foot for the Upper District. Looking at sales volumes briefly, you can see the volatility both in the total, from about 10,000 acre feet all the way up to almost 70,000 acre feet, and in the type of water Upper District has purchased in the past. Significant volumes, albeit intermittently, of replenishment water shown here in the green. And we went through a period here where we didn't buy any, the basin was hot after the El Nino event, 04-05, and bought quite a bit coming off of that event, and then not so much. All depends on the level of the basin, the overlying demand, the water coming out of the canyon, etc. In this particular forecast, the only thing I can tell you for certain is it's wrong. Meaning that we do not know for certain how much water Upper District will have to buy from Metropolitan and at what particular class of service. So all we've done here is assume that we will buy Tier 1 or Tier 2 full service deliveries to meet the replacement water obligation, the yellow bars here, and continue to buy about 5,000 to 7,000 acre feet of treated Tier 1 deliveries to help some of the producers with some blending issues with some wells. They take some of that water to blend down some of the water that's going out of their wells. We looked at this chart previously. I want to go over it again. This is a very high-level summary of the revenue requirements, where we pull together all of our operating expenses, including our purchase water costs. We back off from that about $66 million for operating revenues that do not come from water sales. This is the standby charge, interest income, et cetera. And that gives us a net amount of $27.4 million that needs to be generated by that $70 an acre foot that I'm proposing to your board consider at your April board meeting. That will generate, if we apply that, to about 33,000 acre feet of sales expected in 2011-12. That will generate almost $27 million. And we would be short by about $500,000. The reason I'm not setting that rate at $71 or $72 to recover that amount is that we still have to go through a very detailed budget process here. And I'm confident, one, that we can find that $500,000 working with your board. And also, it's rounding error, it's estimating error as far as the sales volume goes. So it's easier to work with a round number like $70. Capital expenditures of $15 million. That would be funded by capital program revenues, principally state revolving loan funds. So we would not be dipping into the district's cash reserves to fund capital in the coming fiscal year. We would preserve that cash to buy water, either from Met or water transfers. So the net activity is just that $500,000. The other way to look at the $70, when you flow that through the 33,000 acre feet, this is that same number, our operating costs, except here we backed out the first state revolving loan fund payment we have of $740,000. We still are taking out the $6 million in operating costs. We don't want to double, or operating revenues that aren't from sales, we don't want to double count that. Leaves us $26 million that has to go towards the operations of the district coming from water rates. And there's, you know, 26.9 almost being generated with the $70, and that leaves $820,000 that can go towards the debt service of $740,000. And this is a basic calculation that a bank, a rating agency, they do it in various fashions. This is one of them that gives you this debt service coverage ratio whereby you then demonstrate and certify that you are paying your obligations. And that's very important for us to start to establish that.
Now, I missed something, though. What debt do we have that we need to have for service?
We have been accessing state revolving loan funds. They're at 0% interest paid back over 20 years.
0%?
Yeah, it's great. It's good money to build out the direct reuse program. So that first payment gets 2011-12.
Okay, that's no interest, it's just capital payback.
Correct, amortized over 20 years, 0%.
Okay. Thank you.
I want to make sure we understand the average rate calculation and how that's derived. Relatively simple, we take the, and this is for last year, 37,000 acre feet, this year's budget. We take all of the volumes that were budgeted for sales, 37,000 acre feet in Tier 1, Tier 2, treated Tier 1, and the various upper district surcharges that are applied to, and these are the existing surcharges, multiply through, and you get the revenue expected over that 12 fiscal months, July through June, total of $2.33 million, divided by 37,000 acre feet gives you $63 an acre foot. A very simple, basic approach to setting a water rate that we can then build upon once we have agreement among the producers and then their input as to if we need to set any other pricing signals.
Shane, question for clarification, that 63 then would be comparable to what you're looking at for 70 across the board.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Thank you, Steve. Yeah, when we're talking about the increase now, we're looking
from 63 to 70, but it's important to recognize for certain classes of service, particularly water master, that purchased a large volume of water here in 2011. Full service untreated tier one, we're going from $42 to $70, so that's a pretty hefty increase. But
that's about 90% of the water we sell, isn't it?
It's a good portion of it, and that's largely what's allowing us to recover the cost without an even larger average rate increase. It's important to look quickly at the history of these average rates. We've shown this in various fashions, but the green bar is metropolitan, and so you see during this period, Upper District was purchasing some treated full-service water to deal with some water quality issues, and that was largely tapering off during this period. This was really the last year of a significant purchase, about 11,000 acre-feet. And then this rate is averaged down significantly by the access to mass discounted replenishment rate. And then in 2010, when a significant amount of water was brought into the basin, also similarly this year, at both Tier 1 and Tier 2 untreated rates, you see that rate jump up considerably. Also, it's important to see that, you know, as we're going into the drought and coming out of it, Upper District has aggressively increased its surcharge to keep up with its cost of conservation, recycling, et cetera. So that's those are the drivers. And then
I'm a little bit confused about this slide. It looks to me like that it boils down to approximately a 100% rate increase, but that other slide that we saw showed us at 11% increase. What am I missing? I mean, this looks like about a 100% increase, a doubling of the rate for Upper District. What am I missing?
From this period, certainly to here, it's doubling, 25 to 55.
Yeah.
It's more than doubling. This rate, on average, is already adopted and in place across the various classes of service.
What date did we adopt that?
That would have been in 2009, early 2009.
Oh, okay. That's the answer to my question.
Yeah, we're considering now this increase here of $7, which is an 11% increase.
That was probably around March 2009?
Correct.
Okay.
Uses of funds, we expect to use, and again, we're going to put a really sharp pencil to this. I think we can get more out of this or reduce the cost a little bit more. But right now, Evelyn's best estimate for 2011-12, $48.4 million. And this pie chart shows you where all that money is going. The largest portion of it, 47%, or almost $23 million, is for purchasing water from Metropolitan Water District. We pass that rate on to the customers and Water Master. We are still pursuing a water transfer for 5,000 acre feet. State Water Project, incidentally, State Water Project allocation just went up to 70% today, so it's going to be very difficult to move this water. If we can't move this water, then we'll purchase the same block of 5,000 acre feet from Metropolitan, so this slice will just get bigger. And then we have about $360,000 currently of purchased water costs for recycled water that we buy both from Central Basin as well as LA County Sanitation District. And over time, you will see this slice get larger, too, as we build out that recycled water program and continue to purchase more of that water to serve. Next largest, obviously, is recycling, the direct-use recycling program. Raimundo is going to continue to aggressively push that for us in the coming fiscal year. Almost $14.5 million, or 30% of the expenditures going there. I do want to bring forward as part of the budget for your board to consider initiating a stormwater program. This would largely be a feasibility and design effort at this stage, and closely partnering with LA Department of Public Works and the cities in the valley. There's a lot of opportunity here. It's a relatively modest program. Capital here of only $500,000 for the coming fiscal year. We may be able to offset a good portion, if not all of this, through grant funds. We have submitted grant funds for two stormwater projects with the USDR Water Smart Program.
Our administrative expenses, 6% of the proposed use of funds, almost $3 million, $2.92 million. And we're going to look at the trends for each one of these slices. Water recycling, our operating costs, the debt service payment of $740,000, plus the O&M we pay to the producer, San Diego Valley Water Company, as an example, operates and maintains that system for us, as well as Suburban Water System consumes over the state. So those costs are in here. Our water conservation program that Elena very diligently pushes for us, $2.55 million. And we'll look at some of the changes for all of these slices compared to this year's budget. Water quality and supply program, $750,000. And some labor here for stormwater program expenses. This would be allocated personnel expenses or professional services here.
If that yellow wedge becomes purple, will its size change? Will it get larger or smaller if we buy it from Matt rather than direct?
It will stay about the same.
That doesn't answer the question. About the same, but will it be about the same higher or about the same lower?
It'll be within plus or minus 10% of this number here, 2.7 million. Likely a little bit higher. We're really not going to save a lot of money. This water transfer will be very comparable to buying Tier 2 untreated water from Metropolitan.
Okay.
Unless the Four Cities District can move it for us. But at a 70% allocation, that's very unlikely.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay. Apologize for this. Sorry to read you off to work on that. I just threw this one together. These are at a very high summary level, and we'll delve into this in quite a bit of detail in the preparation of the budget. But going through that now, purchase water costs down almost $1.8 million or 7.2%. That's going from 37,000 acre feet to 33,000 acre feet. And so the decrease in the volume is actually offsetting the increase in the rates. The water transfer, obviously, we didn't do one this year. So that's a complete increase of $2.7 million. Recycled water, we had a pretty aggressive estimate in this year's budget. And so that higher volume drove an estimate of $380,000. We're tracking much lower than that, around 290,000, 270 to 90,000. So actual to propose, we're going to be up. So that's why this doesn't really make sense. Just a high estimate. So almost $26 million for purchase water costs. Personnel expenses, a significant increase here, about $380,000, almost 20%. This is going to have to be vetted by your board in detail in the budget, but I am proposing in this number to add four staff. Possibly we'll be able to get away with three over the next year if we find the right experience and skill sets. Director expenses up a little bit, but we assume that would be, that trend's pretty flat traditionally. Office expenses, this increase is due to, we're going to have an expense when we move to furnish another location. So that's the driver here. Otherwise, we left it flat, down a little bit, actually. So about $150,000 for furnishing. We'll, of course, use whatever we can from this location. Facility expenses, a big jump here is if we end up leasing, it's going to be about $200,000 a year. So we can get it to one, maybe down to 180, but that's a significant expense.
Anything would be an improvement.
Cheaper than the $750,000 that was budgeted this year, closer to $1 million, but the bids came in for. Professional services, this is where I want to do a lot more work with Evelyn when we prepare the detailed budget. I think we can work this down quite a bit. I've noticed in this year's budget there are quite a few professional services, legal, lobbying, financial consulting throughout the budget, and we're not spending at that level, so I want to work that down. We took it down some here, you see, $130,000. There's more work to do there.
down some $300,000 for other. This is election expense. So we'll see that again, and that shows up in 12-13.
Yeah.
So total administrative expenses up 10.5% or $270,000. The recycling program, the big jump here, out of this $860,000, $740,000 of that is the first loan payment. The rest is the increase in the O&M costs. Groundwater remediation projects, big decrease here. I wish I could claim credit that I was managing costs. This is really just driven by a $1 million grant to Sunny Slope and a $1.2 million loan to South Pasadena. Those funds have not yet been dispersed. We're still working on with both of those agencies on their final requirements before we can disperse those funds to them. Other expenses flat here. So the big driver to decrease here is not having those outlays for loans and grants. We are paring back on the water conservation program. We could pare back more here. Elaine and I have been having this conversation, but I would really like to work closely with the board in the budget process before we do that, and also get some input through the water use efficiency master plan. And that's one area where I think we can do better and still achieve the savings. So without water purchases, largely driven by not having the grant and loan outlays, we're down $1.4 million or 14%. And that includes administrative expenses you saw on the prior slide. And with water purchases, including the med rate increases, we're down almost $500,000. So basically, we're trying to stay flat. And then our capital costs here, almost $15 million for direct use. And there's some work on advanced treatment here. We're going to continue, we recommend that we continue. You folks are going to have to approve it with the background monitoring for permitting the CDPH, so we don't lose any time if we do elect to go with an advanced treatment technology. And then we have the stormwater and other in here. Kevin, could you look at other for me? Did I carry that forward by mistake for capital? What is that? You can see it. We'll come back to it. Hands up, but I can't see. So we're spending $47.5 million. Where is that money going to come from? Sources of funds. Obviously, the largest portion, water sales. This includes both the pass-through of next rates as well as the $70 an acre foot that is proposed. We recover the transfer plus the $70 an acre foot. And then we generate about $1.3 million off of our recycled water sales. This will continue to grow. We're pricing that through a standard contract now at 80% of the water master replacement water rate. Upper district surcharge. I'm sorry. This only includes the Met pass through. The surcharge on the Met pass through is here at $2.6 million. We have a standby charge of $1.7 million. And also recovering the MWD standby charge. And we've got a little bit, looks like $50,000 here. What's, yeah, $140,000 of conservation revenue. And then the biggest pie here is state revolving loan funds followed by state federal grants. We will have to apply for some more revolving loan funds, but that's a pretty known process, and they're available. These grants are already secured. I'll go through these trends, see if it sparks any questions here. You can see the main story here is just this rapid rise in total operating expenses. Primary drivers being purchase water costs, moving from the replenishment program to being a full-service customer, at least for the near term, as well as adding on potentially some water transfers. Water recycling program expenses. The purchase of the water will go up as we buy more of it. well as the cost for the operations here in the green and the loan payment. So this is something we have to be continually comparing our revenues relative to the cost. I showed we were going to generate $1.3 million of revenue, and we're about a little over $1.5 million in costs here. So we're still a bit upside down on the total recycling program by about $200,000, and that's $70 an acre foot after we subsidize that until we start to fully recover here. Water conservation program, Upper District has historically spent between $1.6 million and $2 million, and then a big increase here in this year's budget. We're holding back on these expenses just to make sure we're in good shape and we have enough money to purchase water. And then as we complete that water use efficiency master plan and implement programs that fall out of that plan, we're just taking a sort of an educated guess that we'll end up between the $2 to $2.5 million a year range here. Big push this year, but again, we're probably going to come in around $2 million this year. Water quality and supply program expenses. A lot of things get lumped in here, I've noticed. We've stripped out the grants here. This is just operating expenses. The driver here from the current budget of about $620,000 to $750,000, the main driver there is professional consulting expenses for the integrated resources plan. And then that, of course, would drop off. Administrative expenses, this is a significant trend. We have to keep a close eye on this. What we have here are, this is primarily driven by personnel costs and benefits, labor, wages, salaries and benefits, materials and supplies, office expenses, et cetera, computer equipment. But this has steadily increased since 2005-06. The increase here, as I talked about, from 2.65 to 2.92 is principally the addition of the staff, three to four positions here. This increase is elections, 450,000, three board seats. In summary, Upper District's costs are rapidly increasing to address the water supply reliability. We as staff take it seriously to control that increase as best we can, yet at the same time meet the board's objectives of meeting the district's mission. The proposed rates of $70 an acre foot recover the current cost of service. The average rate increase is 11%, moving from $63 to $70 an acre foot. It's important to recognize, though, that some customers will feel a different impact depending on what class of service they purchase, anywhere from 1.4% to 24%, but this is unlikely to be seen because we're not participating in that replenishment program. We do need to evaluate pricing to encourage storage during the winter months. There's benefit to that. Recycling and stormwater capture, but it's logical that that should sort of start to come into play in that conversation start once we're well into the integrated resources plan, just taking a baby step here and focusing on cost recovery. That concludes the presentation. You have the lights.
Thank you. I we have some people from Valley County Water District here, which one of our customers or people we work with. I would be interested to find out what is your take on this. Because we have four people from Valley County?
Four.
From the board of the Valley County. Anything you would like to add to this or how do you feel what we're doing here?
Our operating expenses, so it's, we understand it.
of it.
You see the need for it, so you're doing the same thing, right? Yes, ma'am. You retail, right, also?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a little bit more difficult. Thank you. I appreciate that. What about our fellow member agency for Metropolitan Central Basin? Would you like to say anything, President Vasquez?
Well, it looks like you're here. That just kind of lined it up pretty well.
Preparing for it. Okay, I see that. Thank you. Anybody on the board? Yes, sir.
So what, to Valley County, what would be the direct impact? What, how much would you guys have to increase your rate for the consumers? Yeah, exactly. No, that's why I think it's important to be able to know the effect, that the trickle-down effect for us making this decision, to be able to know, you know, our decision.
To be aware of it, yeah.
To the people, so I think that would be great information for us to perhaps not get an estimate, not an exact, but, you know, based on what we're proposing, what would that effect have on you guys, for our other, you know, customers as well, be able to know the direct impact to the consumer.
Yes, sir, Tony.
You know, one of the major problems, particularly with cement, is that, you know, with what, 10 years, water rates really never, they weren't ready. It should have been done gradually over yearly. And that was a big mistake by the Nature Water District. And the public sees these giant spikes, they don't understand it. But water has been relatively cheap.
Yes, it has.
And when you see the infrastructure now that we have to
maintain.
Get water here, but next year, raise rates yearly.
Gradually, incrementally, yeah. I agree with you. And that was an issue 10 years ago, and I was on the board, that,
yeah.
You know, of raising rates, and they just didn't want to do it. Anybody else on the board here wants anything to add to this presentation? Otherwise, we will. Yes, sir.
The part I'm having trouble understanding is how do we justify adding 3 or 4 staff positions? I can't see any areas where the workload has increased. I mean, what areas can you point to where workload increases? Sometimes when I, before I vote on some of these issues that come before the board, I say, how many staff hours, if we approve this, is this going to, incur? So we not only get an idea of the dollars expense and the dollars and cents is, but also the staff hour burden. But I don't see the workload increases. Where are the workload increases?
Three direct examples for Director Robinson, and we'll go into this in a good deal of detail with the budget. One would be, ironically, this presentation. If Evelyn and I had a management analyst that had the right set of skills, this is one of the positions we're looking for, we could have had this presentation out well in advance for both the board and the public to review, and I could have spent my time today at Metropolitan continuing to try and get the
Well, it's never been a problem in the past, though.
Nobody's ever done anything. Try another one. Another example would be to get another engineer to work directly with Ringo on project management. Stephanie's doing an outstanding job supporting us on the direct reuse recycling program, which I know you're a big supporter of, but we can do that with an in-house project engineer and reduce some of our consulting costs. So there's a direct offset there, and that's burned into those budget numbers. And then a third would be the communications, and someone that can both support Peter in the preparation of the press releases and the material for the website and maintaining the website, as well as work with Elena's conservation programs. Right. So those are really the three positions I'm targeting moving forward.
Well, that doesn't sound very persuasive to me. But
okay.
That's just nice.
And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I could even add another position to communications in a fourth position. Why not? You know, but, you know, we'll see what happens. But this will come to the admin committee for further elaboration, discussion, and then we'll bring it back to the board.
Well, I mean, the counterpoint to that is...
Mr. Robinson, I mean, is anybody else who wants to say anything before we go back to you, sir? Yes, ma'am. What's the name of the pie?
Uses of funds.
Oh, uses of funds, okay.
You have very sharp eyes, and I can't explain it. It's wrong.
Okay. I'm
going to ask them.
Yeah.
I did not catch that. I apologize. That's wrong.
Okay. Another reason why we need staff to not catch any stuff. Additional staff.
Extend your percentage to the decimal point, you'll find a fraction of 1% and up to 4%.
So it's a rounding off? It's a rounding?
Yeah, we would have to pick up two significant places to get it.
Okay.
Okay. Very good. If nothing else, I'll let the Director Robinson now make his comment.
No, that's okay. Skip it.
Okay. Well, we're going to move on. I think this is very, very good for us. This is a great exercise. We've never had anything quite like this. I've only been on the board 2 years, but I really think this is a very, very useful exercise. So I'm really excited by this and the fact that we're having input from Valley County, even Central Basin, one of our sister agencies. I've met and anybody else, producers. Dan, you want to add anything to this, or? No? So this is good. This is a good exercise. Okay, moving on to items removed from the consent calendar. Is there any items removed from the consent calendar? Okay, hearing none, we move on to number 7, the consent calendar, and that is a resolution number 3-11-492, amending the time and day of the regular meetings. Any discussion on that?
Just had a question. Are we basically just flipping it from the first to the third? Mm-hmm. And the rationale for that is?
So we have basically one policy meeting, open to the public.
Yeah, and that would be the first meeting of the month, right?
Would be
the first
Tuesday of the month, 6:30
p.m.
Should be an evening.
Yeah, and we would just switch the time of that. That's right.
Right.
Okay. All right. Any other questions on this? And it just makes it better for the public to address this. Okay, seeing none, do we need a motion, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Very good. I guess it's unanimous.
No, it's 4-1.
I didn't hear you, sir.
You didn't call for any dissent. Well, you said all those in favor say aye, and I wasn't in favor, so I didn't say aye.
Well, okay. Next time we'll ask for a roll call vote.
It was 4-1. Thank you.
Director's comments, starting with Director Robinson.
Well, as Dan Arrighi mentioned early in the meeting, I'm really saddened by what has occurred in Japan. About 1.5 million people are without water service, and about 4 or 5 million people are without electricity service. And the Japanese are awesome people, but my take on how to help Japan recover would not be to write a check to the Red Cross. My take would be buy a Toyota or a Honda. That'll help them more than supporting the Red Cross. But the Japanese are robust and energetic people, and I'm sure they're going to recover faster than we would, even given the same circumstances. So that's my only comment.
Okay,
Dr. Bell.
Mr. Travis?
Mr. Arias? I would just like to mention that last week was National Groundwater Awareness Week. Maybe in the future we should look into possibly getting a resolution and trying to take some action to promote the importance of groundwater for the San Diego Valley. And with that, I think I'll okay.
I don't have anything either, so we'll move on to future agenda items. Anybody have anything to put in the agenda in the future? Things that they think that should go to different committees or should be discussed? Okay. Do we have a closed session, sir?
Yes.
Okay. We will adjourn to closed session.
Upper District will now be in closed session regarding the appointment process of the San Gabriel Water Quality Authority, board representation of Upper District. This is a permissible closed session item under potential litigation, and that would be Government Code Section 549-56.9. Back in closed session, having discussed the various options relating to the appointment process formulated through the legal opinion of the San Gabriel Water Quality Authority, on appointment process of member agencies. The board listened to the general options. Has taken no option, took no official vote, and the matter's been referred back to staff to review and analyze non-litigation alternatives. I would ask that the board approve the action taken in closed session.
Right here.
Yeah, I'll move to ratify what you just said.
Right here, second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, good. All right, we will adjourn now in memory of the people of Japan who perished in the tsunami. Thank you very much.